We will call the Gage County Board of Supervisors to order for Wednesday, February 7th, 2024, at 8:45 on the clock. We will begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance, Bob Servation, Jurgens Hexby, Schuler, Tiemann, Doran, Swavely, and Lytle. First is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held January 24th, 2024. Approve all claims through February 7th, 2024 in the amount of $498,321.25. Accept claim number 2402-0007 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $5,285. 2402-0088 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $5,427.81. Claim number 2402-0093 to RL Tiemann Construction in the amount of $34,517.50. And claim number 2402-0089 to Johnny's Welding Inc. in the amount of $123.70 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve Gage County balance of liability as of 1/23/24. Approve district court summary fee report and register of deeds fee report for the month of January 2024. Approve 2024 Gage County Highway Department policy with the townships as amended. Approve spec and call for bids for fertilization, mowing, bagging, trimming, and blowing of clippings for the Gage County Courthouse, Sheriff's Department, Evidence Building, Triplex, and parking lot parkways for 24 and 25. Bids to be opened on March 6th, 2024 at 9:15 a.m. I would ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
So move. Approve.
Second. Moved by Schuler.
Oh.
Second by Doran. I guess it doesn't need to be on this, but I would add we will have a exec session at the end of the meeting per section 84-1410 of the Nebraska Revised Statutes for personnel also. Any discussion on the consent agenda or any items you'd like to pull off? If not, please vote. 7 in favor, motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 2402-0007 to Beatrice Lawn Care in the amount of $5,285. Claim number 2402-0092 to RL Tiemann Construction in the amount of $34,517.50. And number 2402-0087 to Hard Rock Quarries LLC in the amount of $5,427.81. These are companies I'm associated with.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Doran, second by Swavely. Any discussion on these items? Please vote. 6 in favor, with Tiemann abstaining. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove claim number 2402-0088 to Johnny's Welding, Inc. in the amount of $123.70. This brings the total amount of claims paid through today to $543,675.26.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Doran, second by Swavely. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor, with Jurgens abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items that are not listed on the agenda later. Welcome to all of you. Everyone is on the agenda later. We will move on to committee reports. Building and ground, winter lights. Mr. Swavely.
David, you want to come up and bring us up to date?
Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Morning. We did have just a little bit of damage from the heavy snow a couple weeks ago at since it was so much snow and then it started freezing so hard when it slid off, it took out a piece off the northeast corner gutter. That's a copper gutter. So when Van Lanningham comes to take the lights off the trees, he'll have his bucket truck at that time. And so I'm going to see if he can take a look at that. And hopefully we can repair it. It's too high up there to see exactly what's going on, but it did tear it, it looks like, also. So we've been working on district court clerk's office. We were told earlier that those desks were supposed to be here on February 9th, and they have pushed that back to the end of February now, which is fine with us. We're not quite there yet anyway, so we keep they have cubicles. We just keep pushing them further back while we're working on that front counter in there. That counter is actually more or less just two walls, and then we just framed up a 2x4 wall, and they're going to have just a real narrow counter in there. And I'll be talking to Building and Grounds after the meeting about specifications for the Highway Department cameras and door controllers for the courthouse and sheriff's department. I did get just the basic specifications of what we would need to continue with bidding that project out. So that's pretty much what we've been working on.
Thank you, Mr. Okay, Jones.
Thank you.
Good.
Equalization, we had a very brief meeting this morning. Really nothing new. Evaluations are still going up. There will be adjustments coming your way. Really no news other than that. Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items, MIPS Incorporated, forms, computer programming, data processing, $18,127.70. Washington County Sheriff, boarding inmates, $13,950. Clausen & Sons Dirt Work, snow removal, building rent, $10,400. RLT Construction Incorporated, patch number one, project C34-1255, culverts, haul material, $34,517.50. Masonry Construction Incorporated, part of phase 12, exterior renovation, $46,313.
Thank you, sir. Human Resources, Employee Relations. We do have a retirement. Mr. Randy Furking has worked at the county in the highway department from 05 through the end of 23. He has decided to call it quits. He did not want to come in for recognition, but we do have a plaque for him that we'll be getting to him. Some of the fellows down at the highway department would rather fade off into the sunset without coming to see us. I know we're not always the most popular here, but we do want to thank Mr. Furking for his years of service and wish him a very happy retirement. So if you see him, tell him hello, congratulations, and thank you for his time. Law Enforcement Emergency Management, Mr. Lytle.
You got anything?
Clear. Road and Bridge, Mr. Juergens.
Caught me off guard there. Okay. Mrs. Haxby talked about grant applications. We'll run some by Sand for a review. A bill is being worked on to get Bridge Mac program back at the state capitol. Mr. Kunke gave a list of structures that needed replaced, talked about potential use of equipment purchase, and township associated meeting is tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. Happy hours at 6.
And at the beginning of that meeting will be the last infrastructure outreach for the grant. So if people want to take part in that, that would be the last one before I've got to kind of close everything up and bring in all the information.
Thank you, too. We have a couple timed events that will be coming up, so if you have any bids for fuel or motor graders, please get them into the clerk's office. Those will be at 9:15 and 9:30 respectively. Up next, approve or disapprove special purchase of a 2021 John Deere 6120E tractor with cab heat and air, mechanical front-wheel drive, 12-speed. I don't know what the P on here is. Reverser, dual PTO, SCV, rear tires, 18.4, 38, 120 horsepower, and 228 hours. Do we just approve purchase on this and then we can review everything?
Here's what your Roger also provided a letter on your bidding, so you have we published it.
As
given the notice,
yep,
to purchase has been complied with.
I have not received any
for the bids in my office. Five-day notice has been provided. This is the, as talking with the attorney's office, these are the steps that we need to go through in order to purchase non-new equipment, formerly purchased equipment, just so that we follow the rules and we're transparent. If we can find something where there's a substantial savings to the county to buy used equipment, we need to advertise that we're going to buy used equipment. We can't just purchase at advertised price.
So can we make a motion to approve?
Yes.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn, and we have not had any other bids put in for a machine similar to this.
I would just suggest that in your motion, Mr. Lytle, if you put that upon compliance with section 23-3109, the motion's made.
Okay. I would like to add that to my motion.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lytle. Thank you, Counselor.
All right.
Mr. Juergens.
And the price did come in where?
$67,700.
Okay. I'll take everybody back a little bit. Mark. Okay. All right, good. Mark came to me a couple weeks ago and...
A week ago,
and had found this tractor. This is a piece of equipment that we had budgeted for in this year. The budget was for $60,000. This is a tad bit over what we budgeted, but thought the value was there to go ahead. It's replacing a what year, Mark?
A 1973 1066 International.
About time.
Yeah. And I just had pictures of it. I don't know how much is used, but I think it's going to be used a lot more. We have a nice road drag, a pull behind. This tractor would be ideal for that. It will be used for the seeder and also a gravel reclaimer. So there's
that,
three things.
Since I have been here, it's never been never been used. So I'd like to try it,
yeah,
and see if it's worth it. If not, we'll surplus it out.
Yeah. But the other tractor is still operating, but needed replaced. Anyway, long story short, made these contacts and come up with this plan. So during the time frame. In talking to Don, this piece of equipment only had 228 hours on it. And thought a reasonable buy, so talked with the people there, and they said they would run it through their shop, make sure there's nothing wrong with it, and go through the programming on it. Their response was... ran the tractor through the shop, checked over everything. Everything worked and was satisfactory with our mechanics. They topped off the coolant, which is a negative 35 degree reading. Everything operational, all fluids as they should be, and every gear works the way it should be. So that's what I know.
Any other discussion on this special purchase?
Just note for the record, my understanding is it's a savings of about $13,500. going through this, which that's the significant savings you need for the statute.
And that may be on the light end, too, just from some other pricing we looked at.
Is it an open station?
It's not that good. I will say when they brought this up, this is a lot nicer machine than what I anticipated finding at that kind of money. I have some that I would sell to you for more money that are older.
What are we going to do with the old one?
Are you wanting to keep that or surplus it?
We will, if it doesn't use, if there's no use for us for it, then we will surplus it out. But if we can find a use for it, we'll keep using it as a dual purpose, i.e. with the reclaimer on it, drag behind the other tractor, one swipe, we're going down a road. We don't yet. I'd say by the end of summer if we're going to get rid of it or not.
Mr. Lytle.
I already gave Mark my opinion, but I'll tell the board my opinion. If you got a piece of crap you got to replace, I'd say you get rid of the piece of crap.
There's also been discussion between Mr. Jurgens and Mr. Conkey about if this works well on that road drag or reclaimer, potentially adding another tractor, lower skill operator than a blade, more versatile between different staff, maybe easier to throw someone in a tractor than a blade. So if it works, the other nice thing is I've noticed that blade prices are not going down, which we'll see here in the last 7 to 10 years. In the last 7 years, we've added another 100 grand to blade prices. So tractors are still a little easier to find and maybe a little easier to use. We have a motion by Lytle, second by Dorn.
To add to you, Gary, the age and the hours on that tractor, we're looking at probably a lot of maintenance coming up. So it would be better to use that salvage value or whatever you want to get out of it and hold that money for another purchase down the road. I'm not saying now.
I agree.
No other discussion. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove resolution number...
What is my number? You're ahead of me here. 24-03.
24-03 on special use permit number 2023-6 for the placement of a telecommunications tower to be located on a tract of land in the northeast corner of the north half of the west half of Section 6 in Blakely Township, Gage County, Nebraska.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Swavely. Any discussion on this tower? Ms. Haxby.
I was going to say, I did speak with Jared, and he got the information that I had requested with the ADLS lighting. So I just wanted to say thank you for looking that up and getting back to me on it.
What was the answer on that ADLS?
So ADLS, it's more for like, it is possible to do, but it's meant for more like multiple towers in one location.
I see. Any other discussion on this tower?
I haven't had any feedback on it in the last couple weeks. So, yeah.
If there's no other comment or discussion, we have a motion and a second. Please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Maybe that'll improve your cell coverage.
Hopefully.
Up next, discuss and approve or disapprove MOU between Gage County and Freeman Public Schools, Wymore Southern Public Schools, and Diller O'Dell Public Schools for the school resource deputy. Good morning, Sheriff.
Good morning, everyone. We discussed this in the past. We're at that point. We met with almost all school boards except for one. We're going to do that this weekend, I believe, because of the snowstorm delayed us. But all signatures have been signed, including mine. We just need to get the chairman's. Hopefully the board will go ahead and vote on that. It's been received very well. They're calling him now to come in even in the evenings when they have special events they like to have around there. So I think he's going to get his tail worked off pretty quick here. He's had one or two incidents in schools already, and Roger will be getting a report on one of the first ones here coming up. I'm sure if he hasn't already. So it's like I said, it's received well. I think it's a good program to start off, and so all we really need is The MOU, reasoning we have two is MOUs, basically what the state requires, department head. The interlocal agreement, like Roger says, and meat and potatoes, actual our agreement with the schools. So.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. I think that's a good program, Sheriff. Good luck.
I think it's going to do very well.
Eric, I just want to thank the board for the approval and giving Gus the opportunity to follow through with this. I do think it's important, and I think it's going to be a good program.
Yeah, I think it is. The media picked up on it real quick and come down and wanted to do a story on it when we were down at Southern. So.
The sheriff had tried to do this before, and the idea was get the schools to jump on board. And didn't quite work out as far as funding-wise, but this is something that's been very successful in the Beatrice Public Schools. I think it's
good kickstart.
Beneficial for the county to encourage this with a little funding, and hopefully everyone can see the benefit right away.
I agree.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Very good.
Approve or disapprove interlocal cooperation act agreement between Gage County and Freeman Public Schools, Weimar Southern Public Schools, and Diller Odell Public Schools for the school resource deputy.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Any additional discussion? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Approve or disapprove quote for Applied Connective for wireless upgrades in the Sheriff's Office jail and evidence building in the amount of $10,333.72. Good morning, Chief.
Good morning. I took the liberty of creating a less than one full page talking points for this project, just to give some insight to hit the high points, and then if there's, Roger, I'll even give you one.
Especially
I like you so much. And then I don't know, you two, I don't think got a copy of the quote last time. You might not have been here yet. But I do have additional copies. I'd like one of those as well.
So if we want, we can just kind of whip through this real quick and see, then you can, if you'll look at anything. Just a brief overview. We kind of talked about this Monday morning in the committee meeting. The current infrastructure and equipment is not reliable. It's weak, slow, and it's often it's unusable. Due to these problems, workflow and productivity is hamstrung, leaving work incomplete and equipment unusable. The connectivity on both hardwired and wireless is necessary. We have multiple machines and devices and programs that are affected, such as desktops, laptops, radios, programming, printers, email, evidence program, title inspection, and there's a whole lot more, but I didn't feel the need to put all that in there. The proposed project is a solution to a problem that's been occurring for several years. Both the sheriff and building and grounds custodians, we've had lots of discussions about it and briefed on some possible solutions to correct the issue. Solution is replacing the inadequate equipment and services with updated solutions. These solutions are being recommended by the county's approved IT company, Applied Connective. Items at the sheriff's office. Let's just give you a little idea that are either connected or associated with our network or that have a dedicated IP address. That number is about 126 devices. That's pretty conservative. There's probably closer to 140 or more if you factor in some additional things. Not included in that is the jail's cell check system, visitation, cameras, door locks, the alarm system, or the IP phone systems. The above numbers show you the sheriff's office. We have many items that require a reliable and fast, robust connection, and we rely on those connections 24 hours a day, and the current infrastructure is incapable of providing that. Simply put, the current infrastructure is not sufficient or reliable and needs to be replaced. And I do have additional copies of that quote if anybody wanted either
another
one.
Can I see it? Can I see that quote?
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're saying I must be missing something here, but it's just connecting equipment that's already there, so you're missing the signal?
Well, it is missing a signal at times, and then it's there, and then it drops off. And whether it's hardwired or not, you know, the most recent thing we had is when we tried to do some upgrades on those devices, and, you know, we even connected them, you know, through the Cat 5, Cat 6 Ethernet cable, and we still couldn't get it to work. And it simply boils down to that for the wireless side of things, you know, that we, you know, they're recommending, I think it's 8 indoor access points. Right now, currently, we have one downstairs and one over to the administrative side and one external, and I think it's 4 externals what they're recommending for the outdoor access points. That's the wireless side of it. The rest of it all kind of ties together with, you know, taking a good look at the internet service provider and make sure that is at a speed and level that it should be. A lot of times we get that, you know, spinning wheel just sits there, and then it won't connect, and then finally it does, and then the connection is very slow. That's both on hardwired and on wireless as well.
Is that the internet connection speed, or is that the equipment?
Well, it could be a combination of both. We had one yesterday morning, and then IT ran a speed test on everything on the machine itself, and the machine itself was fine. It is an older computer, but then they ended up, I don't even know what they did. They worked some kind of magic and got it back up and running and did their thing on their end of it. So, you know, a lot of it is that we'll lose a connection. We'll have to make a phone call, you know, either through IT or to the, you know, previous vendor that had that equipment at the time installed. And so then they'll reset it, it'll work for a while, and then it's right back to where we started it again. And, you know, after an overview and recommendation, we took a tour, you know, I provided a tour, I should say, to the whole facility. You know, there's a lot of electrical interference. We have thick brick walls. You know, we have lots of things in the 2.4 gigahertz range that, you know, provide interference and things like that. You know, so the equipment, you know, it's probably, you know, some of it's, well, quite a few years old. Some of it's as new as maybe 5 years old that's already, you know, to the point to where it probably needs to be updated. So, unfortunately, that's the way it is.
When did I don't think I've missed a meeting for a while. When did we get these?
Monday morning. I think it was before you got here Monday morning when I handed it.
Oh, I missed it by 5 minutes. 8:05.
I have learned to talk fast in front of the board and not bore you to death. So that's why this is less than one page.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because you can't fix you're not going to fix your little spin thing if your internet's crap. You're going to just extend bad internet through everywhere. But like a mesh unit does that, and a mesh unit's like $200. So I was trying to figure out how we get that far. So that's how much are we covering? What kind of area? The whole building over there?
And evidence facility, and then external areas as well. You know, the title inspection is one example. You know, when they have to come outside and do a title inspection, they have to connect the tablet to the wireless in order for that function to work.
I get it. Yeah, we, like, you know, because we, like, don't get a signal through a whole house, you buy mesh units, and it'll extend that signal through the whole house or wherever. Like, I used it to extend it so I could get to the barn for a Wi-Fi out there. So I get the concept of it, but if you're just extending bad service with a unit to extend bad service, that's not gonna help the spinning.
That's thing. Correct.
So, and those mesh units are a lot cheaper than $10,000. So
this would require
trying to catch up.
Running, if you look at that quote, it shows like there's like 2,000. I think that's 2,000 feet of Cat 5 cable that they would need to, you know, run more cabling in order to do that and replace some existing equipment in there that, you know, some of those devices don't want to talk to each other. You know, there are different brands and stuff, and so they will work, but sometimes they don't talk the same language, is how it was explained to me. And so, you know, having a mix of equipment and then researching the internet service provider, that's also part of this, you know, equation, so that you can get everything balanced out to work efficiently with a good provider and good equipment.
Okay.
hearing.
Do you have the money paid for it?
Well, the sheriff may or may not have the money. I'm going to say this. My conclusion is based on these two projects that we're talking about today, even maybe outside of that, I would be very skeptical to believe that there's going to be enough money at the end of the year in the budget to support that.
I'll ask you to just pause 1 second, Chief.
Yep.
We've got a time to bid at 9:15. I'll let you continue, but we'll close bidding. I'd ask for a motion. If there's anyone in the audience that has a bid to turn in for a motor grader, last chance here. Otherwise, I'll ask for a motion to close bidding on the two motor graders at 9:15.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Close bidding at 9:15. Please vote. 7 in favor. We'll go through those here in just a second. But I did talk to the sheriff on budgetary. He said he wasn't sure. Kind of depends on when staffing comes back in or when he is at full staff versus not full staff. There may be money, but he can't give me a definite yes or no on that. But we did talk about that.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Juergens, second by Dorn to approve the wireless upgrades for the Sheriff's Office, Jail, and Evidence Building, which includes 8 connection points in the building, 4 outside. This also covers the Evidence Building, which takes into account your phone system as well, since that's going to be or is or will be over Internet. Basically covers that block. Is that a fairly safe assessment?
I would say so.
I'm sorry, Ms. Hatch.
Emily, you go first, and I have another question in. Okay, so.
Don't get me wrong. I think this is the way we need to approach these kind of things, where we ask our IT service, they give us something, and we go. But we just went through this whole thing about the bidding. Are we going to continue to do it that way, or are we picking and choosing situations on when we're going to do that? But my other thing is, I would have to look these actual pieces of equipment up, because I know we can extend signals for a lot less. For example, the church we go to, they have concrete walls, brick walls. We extended that signal with repeaters and ran cabling, and it was definitely not $10,000. So I would just like to, if that's what the board wants to do, that's just where I'm at.
My question is, if the next item, what do they tie together? The next item has to do with website update. Is that part of it, or is that something separate?
That'd be separate. That'd be the actual sheriff's website.
All right.
Wanting to update that. So this would be connection points for the cars, the computers in the cars, to tie in, as well as when they're working wirelessly in the building. This won't affect any of your hardwired items. This is all for wireless connectivity.
Well, I think it does. It all does tie together at some point in there, to where, you know, all the programs that we utilize are affected by either the Internet, you know, the switches, whatever is required to be replaced inside of that. It does all tie together.
I do have the concern that Emily brought up, Doug. Is this something that their IT services is solely them? Or is this something that could be bid out that other people can be doing?
The short answer, I think, is that we had a previous vendor that installed this equipment, and that was done at the time, I'm estimating 5 years ago or so. And so if you're looking to bid that out, it's not just the equipment side of it, it's the support side of it. And if we submit a ticket or we make a phone call, you know, currently we get a response in a relatively short or expedient time frame. And part of the problem that we experienced previously is, you know, it might be a week or two
might just be, we'll reset this, and then, you know, the problem just reoccurs. And I think it's the lack of, you know, manpower and availability to respond in a timely manner to get the situation resolved. And it's been going back and forth like that for many years already. That's my personal opinion, I guess, based on the results that we have from a previous vendor.
Mr. Lytle, I'd interject here in the courthouse. We just put in, I'm not going to say a similar setup, but it's for this building, the equivalent where we have the access points throughout the building. And that did come out of our building fund or our general maintenance, because that was going to be for the entire building. We could have that argument that those funds would come out of county general funds instead of out of the sheriff's budget for this, because we are providing internet to the sheriff's office and the surrounding area, you know, the surrounding block. So, and it's tied into our network. So, I mean, this may not be something to even pull directly out of the sheriff's budget, because even though it's for him, we're providing internet to that area, and that's the staff of that area. I don't want to lessen what we take from your budget, but at the same time, just being fair, did you have something else, Ms. Haxby?
Trying to articulate it in a clear way. Like, I agree that we need to be doing this through the vendor, through our IT person. Like, that should have been this way the whole way through. They're going to be the one installing. They're running it. That's why we got the IT person. I just don't like the flip-flop that we're doing with how we're doing this. Are we going to bid it, or are we going to let our IT people do the job that we hired them to do?
Well, these are the IT people, so if...
I understand that, but we're flip-flopping here, because we just did this not that long ago, where we said we can bid this out and then have the, like...
And that was the question Monday. I asked the board if anyone had any want to bid this out.
Didn't it matter whether how much the value is, like if it exceeded $50,000?
Yeah, but there's a limit on bidding, right?
This is different because it can be put into professional services, so... There are rules, but there are never any actual rules. There's always...
Because there's a defining at that meeting when we discussed this bidding on the communication stuff and the streaming for this room, that it had to do that we exceeded the $50,000. This is $10,000. And also, it's considered professional service. And, of course, this is equipment. So I'm all about following what our regulations or rules we need to follow. So where is the defining point here?
We're well below any dollar amount where we would have to bid it. It's just whatever policy we want to make. And like Ms. Axby said, being consistent with
sure.
it.
Sure. Yeah, no, I agree with that. So that's why I'm reviewing what we discussed at that time and why we based our decision.
I mean, all of its professional services is what we're calling this, and that's why I think that this, I mean, this is the way we should have been doing it from the beginning. I just don't like the flip-flopping standard that we're setting here. So if we're going to have the IT, let's let them do their job, but this is frustrating.
The separation you need to make, Emily, is they're here to do our IT to make sure our systems run, not supply all the equipment that goes with it. So when it comes to the equipment, that stuff needs to be bid out. As far as running our equipment and making things run for the county, that's what their job is to do.
This, I am agreeing, like the their job is to run the stuff, right? But this is equipment. So how does that work?
Right.
I mean, it's basically a heavy duty mesh unit, essentially, because you are just spreading that signal. And if you spread a poor signal, it's not going to help your signal. So I'm just trying to figure out what we're trying to accomplish and what kind of standard are we going to go with, because this is equipment as well. So I came in 5 minutes late on Monday, but...
Dan,
Are you running off wireless internet, or are you running off of our fiber over there?
I think the answer is yes.
Will this eliminate the old fixed wireless then, and will this get rid of that and get you back just on fiber?
Well, we have machines that are both hardwired, and we have wireless machines and devices.
The internet signal you're getting, though, what you're running off of for our feed, are you running off
of... Oh, how do we get that?
Yes.
I believe that comes in as fiber.
So the speed should be there. We shouldn't have a speed issue as far as...
I think, and I'm going to say this, and maybe, Dave, you want to come up here? So, you know, part of that wireless that we have, or I think, is through Diode. And then Windstream, you know, is the other side of that. And so I think we're kind of doing a little dance there.
Yes, I agree. The way I understand it is the access points, to be safe, are always pointed towards Diode. They never did go into any... The internet did not share, because it was never VLAN. I don't think it was just a separate.
The intent was to VLAN things so that we would have, like, our radios, because we do Wi-Fi programming. So those would run on a separate VLAN to keep that separate from the network side of things. So those two VLANs never, you know, cross each other. I mean, that's where we're using a lot of terms here.
Yeah.
So the struggle that I personally am in running up against, and you know, Doug and I didn't talk about this Monday, but this is the struggle that I'm running against is that we've got equipment that, you know, we haven't had real good success running for a while now, and now all of a sudden it's an emergency that we need to get this stuff to working, and we can't wait 2 weeks to get this stuff up and running because we need it, which I don't agree or don't disagree, we do. But Emily brings up some good questions as to, you know, why aren't we doing this or that? And I don't have the answers for them. Doesn't sound like you do either, Doug. So I guess I'm really struggling with, you know, do we really need to do this today, or can it be something that we wait 2 weeks and get some of the answers that Emily's asking?
Well, and I think part of your concern, Emily, is that, you know, the bad signal that you're talking about, you know, if you have a poor provider. And part of this is also to research, I can't think of the guy's name, that he is the expert in that he would reach out for the internet service provider to find the best solution so that we have a good high-speed connection. And once that, if that's what they find, then they that basically ties into the equipment, so you're putting a good high-speed signal out there in order to do that. And if that means changing from, you know, Diode to Windstream or whatever the vendor is, then that is part of this project.
Just trying to draw correlations here, but, like, I don't... a plumber is a professional service. We have to hire them to come fix a toilet, and we need to buy a new toilet. Do we bid the toilets? We bid the toilets.
No, we don't.
Okay. So that's the same kind of concept here. I don't remember us bidding that kind of stuff, right? Because I know we fixed, like, tile. We fixed air conditioner parts and stuff like that. It's the same kind of concept. So if we're going to hire a professional service, let them be the professional service. But... I want to figure out what our standard's going to be and make sure we're consistent.
I think
Well, that's not a good correlation to what we're doing here.
A wireless toilet.
Yeah, it's right. Spot on, Rog. when we buy a dishwasher, high-priced dishwasher for over there that we have a plumber put in, we bid that out. When we buy the other equipment, when we do those bigger projects, we bid it out. It's not just, hey, Lammel Plumbing, come down and do the job, or hey, Reitzman, you just come down and do the job, buy the equipment, whatever
it's,
you need.
It's for the big pieces, though. We're talking like the big, like $5,000-$10,000 pieces, not the like a $200 camera here and there. That's like bidding out a light bulb. Like, what it is. So
$50,000 worth of light bulbs.
Come up with a standard.
I think part of the problem when we talk about equipment, it isn't just that simple. Yes, you could have somebody come and install this equipment, but there is software and programming that goes with that equipment. And so if this vendor is in charge of that, then we have to have the IT company coordinate continuously with this company. You know, when there's an issue that they discover it's related to something on this equipment side, then that vendor then has to work with them to get that resolved back and forth instead of having it all under one clean assembly, if you will. And I think that's part of what we're running into now as the IT company comes in to look at the rat nest of cabling and switches that we have. You know, they have to figure all that out. So they're essentially taking the fire hose and trying to take a drink and absorb what we've, you know, developed over a period of, you know, 20, 30 years.
Chief,
so
I'll ask you to pause again. We've rolled past another timed event. I'd ask for a motion to, if there are any fuel bids in the audience here, we'll give you one last chance to turn those in. If not, I'd ask for a motion to close the fuel county fuel bids for 24, 25,
motion
approved. And 30.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 7 in favor. All right, Chief, back to you.
So I think we needed to have IT service several years back. I know, and it's water under the bridge at this point. What we've got is we've got a cluster. Okay, Doug has tried hard, Sheriff has tried, you know, to be organized, but honestly, you know, over the years we've bought stuff and done stuff and, you know, thought we were doing the right things. We didn't know. Honestly, I mean, we just didn't know. So now we've got a mess of different things that doesn't work together and whatever else. Somehow we've got to have an answer as to are we putting a band, is this a Band-Aid that we're throwing on something, or do we have an overall system that we need to look deeper as opposed to putting this Band-Aid on? Is there something that we need to do differently to fix it overall? Emily, you're technology-wise, you're probably, you know, a little bit farther advanced than myself or others on here. Is that making a little bit of sense, honestly? And if that's the case, then, you know, do we really want to take a step forward by doing this today, or should we really be taking an overall look at what we're doing and fix the actual problem overall? Doug, I know that doesn't get it done today, but I guess that's what's coming into my brain right now is we got a cluster, and are we fixing it or are we putting a Band-Aid on it?
Well, we tried to fix the cluster like 5 years ago, and that didn't work. And so now that we've got somebody that has a good overview of where we're at, I think that we need to, I mean, this is my opinion, just based on being an end user and, you know, having a base knowledge of what we have at our facility, that I use the example of if I did a bunch of work on this guy's car and rewired a bunch of stuff, and now we call this guy, he's got to come in. Now he's got to spend the first couple hours trying to figure out what the heck I did. And so then once he does, then if we switch to another person, you know, down the road, I mean, God forbid, if something happens and we don't have a contract, you know, next year with this company, then somebody else is going to have to try and figure it out. I think that you need to give the people that have been approved to do the job an adequate opportunity to evaluate and come up with a recommendation, which they have, to be a good solution. And I don't think that we're throwing a Band-Aid on it. I think that we're doing some major surgery here, and so once that's done, then they will be in control of that environment, and I think that's the opportunity that we need to give somebody to do it. Now, quite frankly, I really don't care who does it, but it needs to be somebody that if we've got a problem, I can make a phone call to, and it's rectified or looked into in a timely manner instead of being, you know, a week or two down the road when they get somebody in the area, and I think that's been the problem that we faced previously. So we have kind of gone down that road already, and I don't really have a desire to go back down that road because I really don't know what's going to change. I think that's my opinion.
Mr. Schlavely.
This board made a decision amongst all of us sitting around this circle here 3 or 4 months ago that advanced technology was going to be IT people, okay?
Applied
That's
connective.
Applied connective, sorry.
Okay. I know what you meant.
Okay. And you know, we still keep arguing about it, okay? And that's kind of a, you know, we got to put this to bed. And if they're going to be the ones that take care of us, okay, then we should let them spearhead everything that comes down the pike and be done with it. And I know that we, you know, probably because of the dollar amount that came up with the what we want to do in here kind of brought, you know, oh, okay. There were some people that we skipped over, and that wasn't intentional, okay? We just made the assumption that it was a bad assumption at the time, okay? But those people should be the ones that take care of this, okay? And if that's who it is, you know, they're going to have other subcontractors come in and do stuff for them. I'm sure they will, okay? But they should be the lead people when it comes down to doing the stuff that we're talking about, whether it's with the sheriff's office or whether it's here or anything else. And I did. We blew that. I think it's time, okay, that we just take and bite the bullet and say, you know, we agreed to it, come up with some type of a thing to say that they're going to be the people. Everything that we get done goes through them.
Yeah. I guess with that being said, what I would suggest, we have a motion by Juergen, second by Dorn. I would suggest, since this is very similar to what we just did in the building here, as far as providing internet to the staff, as we have to, like it or not. I don't think the internet's going away anytime soon. This would be funded out of miscellaneous general IT, if that's okay with you, Mr. Juergens, and Mr. Dorn, if this would pass. Ms. Haxby.
Mine's just more of a comment. If we vote today, it's going to be a no for me, because I want to have time to talk to Applied a little bit about what we're coming off of. Is it fiber? Is it cable? And, like, how much different is this from a standard mesh unit? Just more questions for me. But until we set a standard on how we're going to approach these, like we just, next committee meeting, let's sit down and have a conversation on how we're going to do this, because we can't keep flip-flopping. So if we vote today, it's a no for me.
Counselor?
Just a suggestion, too. Nothing against Doug here. He's like me getting up there and telling you what's going on in this thing. We don't know. He's not even sure whether it's fiber or wireless. And I'm not being critical because, you know, when we go down to the courtroom, we've got to have a hotspot. Davey helped install it. Joe sold me in. And you trust him. We got to build, as Mr. Schwabe said, we got to build our trust into this new person. Quite frankly, last week's been hell for my office because of their rollover into this new system. And I don't have a problem saying that. I'm madder than hell. And they know it. Now they fixed it after 4 days of hell. I'll send my overtime to them. We'll see how that works. But we got to get to that point. I agree with you on that. But again, I think you don't go down with a broken car and take a carburetor and say, here, I bought this at, Napa. Would you put the carburetor on when you fix my car? Part of their professional fee is selling you stuff. Let's not kid ourselves. We all know that. Now, that the law does allow that as part of the professional. Now, we're not at the numbers, but I think when you guys want to have questions, somebody from Applied better be here and answer the damn questions. It's not up to Doug to come in here and try and sell you computer stuff. He's been told that's what we need. We had a meeting, a week ago Friday? And Applied was there, answered the questions. And I think that's important for you folks, too. I think it'd make everybody feel more comfortable. I don't know about the emergency situation. I don't want to get into that, but that's just a suggestion. I think that'd be a good
one. Well, I was just going to say, to be clear, I 100% agree with what you just said. They're the one. You don't buy a carburetor to have somebody, you ever put it on. You let them do it. That's part of the job. Like, I go get my truck fixed. They're going to buy the part to put on the truck, and they're going to fix it. I agree with that. I'm just more, I want to set a standard to how we're going to approach these and stop flip-flopping before we do this
still
again.
Ask the question, would that cost
I will say, I'm sure Applied would have been here, though, if we had asked. That people do not come and send people on the clock unless you request that they come. That conversation was probably made with Doug, and
they had people.
It's on the agenda today because it was put on the agenda at the last minute. So they probably don't even know it's on.
That what?
Do they even know it's on the agenda? Because you guys
yes.
put it on at the last
yes,
minute.
Yes, because
it went on Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock.
I had talked to them last week, you know, and stuff, and then they had their gentleman was down here, and I took him around the facility, and I told him, I said, I would like to see if we can get this quote put together, have it by the end of the week so I can present it Monday morning so that we can get it moving forward.
We have a motion by Jergens, second by Dorn. This would be paid for out of miscellaneous general IT. I would still see this being very similar to what we've done here in the courthouse. Additional comment?
I was just going to say, I would prefer to not be a no vote. I would prefer we pull it and wait 2 weeks.
I think that makes sense, honestly, to wait the 2 weeks, have Applied Connective here, and be able to discuss through this.
I just got shook off by the motion. Any additional discussion?
I agree with Emily and Gary.
Any additional comment? With that, I will ask you to vote. 5 in favor with Haxby and Lytle voting nay. Motion carries. I am going to have you take a break, Chief, and we're going to go back to our timed events.
Thank you. Thank you.
Give me a 5-minute recess. Before our timed events here that are already 20 minutes old, we will take approximately a 5-minute recess at 9:41. Being at 9:48.
No, you're not. Now you are.
We're going to reconvene at 9:48. We'll begin with the motor grader bids. Do you have a large stack of motor grader bids here?
Thanks. Does anybody else need copies, Gus?
You want me to play Emily for
yeah.
a little bit?
Where's my secretary at?
I think she went to the restroom.
Glad you didn't hear that. Sets her off on the same day.
Oh, I'm going to tell her.
You got to put a blazer on.
Yeah, no kidding. I'm not dressed as sharp.
That makes you nervous, don't it?
Come nice.
Check for bid bond.
Right. We got the bid bond check, of course, but just to trade in.
Trade-ins for the two machines.
Extended
one. But which one are we doing first?
Yeah.
Motor
grader price.
I'm squeezing through, Terry.
Yeah. Okay. First one is from AI Iron Incorporated. This is for a Sani six-wheel drive motor grader. The unit price is $269,988. Extended warranty for 1 year. No. Yeah, I see it. 7 year, 7,000 hour extended warranty on one unit is $21,500 each. Trade-in allowance for the 2012 Caterpillar 140M2 is $60,000. Trade-in allowance for the 2018 Caterpillar 12M3 is $90,000. Is that correct?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
give you some dots this time.
All right. This is for the, this is from Murphy Tractor and Equipment, John Deere motor grader. Expect the same, one motor grader, $394,721 each.
Say that figure again.
$394,721. No.
That's on.
Now, the first one was all-wheel, right? So yes. So apples to apples.
We had a four-wheel drive bid, too.
This was a
four-wheel drive. Yeah. There's two.
I think this one's all-wheel drive.
This one is that I that quoted?
I assume so.
So that first this, tackle had the four-wheel drive.
Oh.
All-wheel drive was an addendum.
Okay. Okay, six-wheel drive. That's what I quoted the first time, right?
That's from Murphy.
Okay.
This is from Murphy.
This is from Murphy.
From Murphy, the one that you just read was for the tandem axle.
Okay.
The second one that you're going to read is for the
six-wheel. The second one for the six-wheel drive, $414,363. Trade-in, the 2012 Caterpillar 140M2, $55,000, 2018 Caterpillar 12M3, $90,000. Am I correct?
You're correct.
Okay.
One other thing that you have listed out there is they ask for the warranty separate. Ours includes the warranty.
That same time frame? Is included into that bid.
Your bid spec asks for 84 months,
okay.
7 years, and 7,000
included.
Hours. That is included,
okay.
In that number.
Okay.
So this one,
all right.
This will be
all right.
These two units, 140s,
yep.
And then price for those with extended, and then the next page here,
yep.
Make sure 376.
Yeah.
So then this one would be the addendum with the six-wheel drive.
Okay. This from NMC Caterpillar out of Lincoln. The first one is for the two-wheel drive. Unit price $323,900. Includes five-year, 500-hour premier warranty. And a parts credit of $3,500. For 7 years and 3,500 hours. Did I read that correctly?
No, it's 5 year, 5,000 hour premier warranty is included with that price.
Okay.
It's a $3,500 parts credit goes around your account, and then the CVA is the filter kits you get for the other time period.
Why would we need a parts credit? No, I'm just kidding. Keep going. All right. All right. Trade in. I see it. Optional bid item, 7 years, 7,000 hour optional warranty, $11,516 each. Okay, trade allowance for the 2012 Caterpillar 140M2, $50,000. For the 2018 Caterpillar 12M3, $130,700. Okay. This is for the six-wheel drive.
That should be the six.
No, this is just extending the front page.
Yeah, one more page. There we
all
go.
All right. Six-wheel Caterpillar, $376,918. Includes five-year, 500-hour premier part and parts credit, $7,000. 7 year, 3,500 hours.
Yeah, parts credit, 7,000 on the all-wheel drive.
Okay.
The filter kits, from that other time. This one includes the five-year, $5,000.
Microphone. Gotcha. The trade-in allowance is the same?
Yes.
Travis, could you come up to the microphone? We'll get comment from each of you guys if just to be on the record for questions as stuff comes up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just make sure it's clear.
Travis Boyle, NMC Cat. Which one do you want to start? You just want to finish this all-wheel drive? So, yeah, the all-wheel drive was a 376, 918 for that unit. And that one has the five-year, 5,000-hour premier warranty and also has a $7,000 parts credit that goes onto your account. And then it comes with the 7-year, 3,500-hour CVA. Those are filter kits. No fluid, just everything you need in a box for each service in that time frame. To bump it up to the 7-year, 7,000 on the all-wheel drive was an additional
$13,230.
So, in the back of that bid, on the all-wheel drive, the base price was $376,918. Less trade total was $187,000, which brings you to $196,218 trade difference. And if with that extended warranty, the trade difference is $209,448. I'll leave you guys a card if you guys have questions in the next couple of weeks.
What they'll do is they'll put all these in the spreadsheet and compare them apples to apples. That'd just be the easiest because we also have to decide what we're going to surplus and what we're going to trade. That'll be something else to look at.
Yep, I got it. And just so we're clear on the 140, the four-wheel drive, the tandem, that was 323. We have one in stock. The other one would be April. The all-wheel drive also was probably about an April, May time frame. We have a bunch on order just between now and June. They're all coming in.
Mr. Swavely.
Sorry.
Yep.
I don't have a question for him. I just want the other folks to come up and do the same thing he's doing because they weren't on.
Absolutely. I'm sorry. I was over there. I just thought we'll just go back through each of them. And
his secretary is still not back.
Because
I sounded so messed up. I didn't have my secretary.
Well, we might be missing one price too for a Sani.
For Sani on the four-wheel
drive. So we'll just go through each of these and just get them real quick. And
do I need to slow down? No. Anyway, that one 140 is in stock. The other one, if you went with two tandems, the one would be in April. But just so we're clear on that, they're $323,900 each. And that includes a 5-year, 5,000-hour premier warranty and the $3,500 parts credit and the CVA kits. An additional $11,516 to bump that to the 7-year, 7,000-hour. And then with your trade, you're at $467,100 for two and $491,32 with extended warranty. So does that all make sense to you? Are you keeping track?
Trying.
Well, any other questions for Travis?
Sorry. Just to be clear, I think we have enough things to look at. We'll accept the bid today and make a decision in 2 weeks.
Yep, that's my understanding as well.
Okay.
Any other questions for Caterpillar?
What models are
these? Oh, these are 140 tandem and a 140 all-wheel drive.
So there's one machine.
What's that?
Do you have any exceptions on your bid?
I do not have any exceptions.
What? So these would be just considered a straight 140?
Yes.
Okay.
So the 12M3 that you had, now that is just a 140.
Okay.
And the old 140M models is now a 150.
Okay. All right. Anything else for Caterpillar? Well, let's just walk back through it backwards, and thank you, Travis.
Yep.
Greg, do you want to come up, and we'll go through the same thing?
I'm going to bring another guy with me, Zach Capital. We're kind of doing this tag team. Taylor Wenzel.
Oh, sorry. I'm Greg Kozuschek, Murphy Tractor.
Zach Hoppel, Murphy Tractor.
So we're filling in for Taylor Wenzel. Taylor Wenzel's your normal salesman. And he's on another situation today, so we're filling in for this one. So
just to hit the highlights here, six-wheel drive option, 414, 363. That includes a seven-year warranty.
Correct.
Four-wheel drive, 394, 721. That includes a seven-year warranty also.
Correct.
Trade-in of 55 and 90 for the two items.
That is correct.
Anything you want to give us specifically on your machines?
So I do want to note that these are 770, which is the tandem axle, and a 772. These are both GP, which is electronic controls. The 700 series is a larger machine. It is more comparable to a 150 Caterpillar, not a 140. Our 670 series would be more comparable to the 140, as the 770, 772 do meet the specs for this. I believe that you guys have also looked into, I think Mark's looked into operation costs, and the deer's proven itself to the county that it is a lower value for the county, a lower cost to the county, not a value, lower cost, sorry. And I just want to bring those up. I'll have to look into the situations. I don't know if we can get a copy of the bids, the final bids, being their public record. If we get a copy of that, look at them, and then kind of see where we're at.
I would ask when you guys get the spread, I assume you're going to spreadsheet these and just put them side by side. Would you send a copy out to each of the bidders?
Do you guys have any questions for us?
I mean, when you talked about a bigger machine, you talk about horsepower?
Yes, bigger horsepower
what
machine.
What about weight? Weight seems very similar.
Weight is a little bit heavier than the tandem axle machine as far as the weights.
I mean, what I have here, the 770G and the Cat 140, there's only 100 pounds difference weight-wise on this sheet that I have.
Okay.
You're talking more horsepower than weight, then.
275 versus 255, I believe.
Okay. Okay.
Travis, I'll just say it for record. What's a 150 for horsepower?
Could we get on with
255.
A 150 is?
Yeah. Or 275, somewhere in there. So basically 20 horsepower more.
Than a 140?
It's the same frame. Same weight. I mean, Mark has his spreadsheets, and he's done years.
So just for the record, I asked Mr. Boyle what the differences were in case it didn't record, about 25 horsepower difference between a 140 and 150 and similar weight, same frame size. And that's different for all of us, I guess, as we've looked at blades. Things always change. I mean, between a 12 and a 120, a 14 and a 140, a 120 and a 140 became the same machine at some point in time. It's wonderful the way we make it more difficult so that
it's harder to understand.
90% of them are 140s in the state.
Any other questions for Murphy Equipment while they're up here? Thank you, guys. If we do have questions, we'll give you all a call.
Absolutely. Our information and Taylor's information is in that packet.
Yeah, it's nice to get a change of pace from Taylor anyways.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. I do have a question.
Yes.
As far as availability.
So 60 to 90 days is what, if we ordered it today and we build it brand new, we do have machines that are coming. There's a chance they could be here sooner, but okay. I wanted to put the worst case scenario.
You know, what's happened here, I mean, in the past, we've had 6, 8 month, 9 month lead time.
Very true.
That's all lowered down now. You're not selling them or what?
So actually, things have caught up. Actually, if you drive around to any car dealer, any equipment dealer, yeah, you're starting to see stuff on the lot again, and things are caught up.
I agree with you.
When we come from the COVID days back in 2020,
yeah,
there wasn't people working. When somebody would get COVID, they'd shut down a whole line, and now people are actually having to go to work, and we're getting stuff done now.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
A1 Iron, if you guys would come up. Would you give us your names, too?
I'm Noah Sackett. I represent A1 Iron. I cover the West Territory for us. We're based out of Omaha. I live just south of Lincoln, but I cover Lancaster, Gage, and everything west. We do business with several guys already in the area. I think Lamo Plumbing actually has a 135, so you know him. He'd be a great guy to talk to. Otherwise, say this is Joey. He's a Sani representative. I'll let you introduce yourself.
Hi, guys. I'm Joe Pontrion. I'm the municipal manager for North America for Sani. I'm sure you're going to have a lot of questions, so that's why I'm here.
Yeah.
How do you spell your last name, Joey?
I'm not going to tell you. I thought about changing it to Smith, but...
Thank you. I guess I'll start out, Noah. We'll just see what questions we have from the board right away.
I see you're running a Cummins engine.
Yep, Cummins engine. We also have Meritor axles by Cummins in our machine, which are very standard in the industry. So, I mean, parts availabilities, I mean, you can go anywhere to get parts as far as that goes. We have plenty on the shelf, or you have machines down in Georgia, so we can get parts the next day if we don't have it. I mean, we're very readily available on that.
Is this machine manufactured here then?
So Joey will touch on that.
All
so
right, that's what I want to hear.
Yeah, so let's bring out the elephant.
Let's bring it.
Yeah, that's great. So we are Sani North America. Our graders are produced. It's a lunchbox machine. So all our parts are, you know, Cummins. They all go over to China. They get assembled. And then they come back. Where we do an extensive PDI, go through it.
You could hear them.
But yeah, so I mean, I guess they are assembled in China.
So you buy a Cummins engine here? Well, probably not here anymore. They're probably over the world too, aren't they?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like
another
everybody,
question.
Just like everybody where you really get sourced from. Yeah. But they go there, assembled, and then they come back to Georgia, you know, and then they're PDI here by our facility and from there.
Yeah.
Do you have any of these machines close to us?
Cherokee County in Kansas would be a good one to talk to. They have 12 of them, so they'd be a great guy to talk to. They come from Caterpillar originally. They switched all their machines over, and they're getting by great. Cody down there, I can get you his contact info. He's a great advocate for us. I mean, they know those machines in and out by now, and they went down to Georgia. They ran them. They took all their guys down there, and it was unanimous, and they got back when they decided to go with Sani. So... I mean, the warranties, I mean, we come standard with a 3,000-hour warranty, but that 7-year warranty, I believe, it's 20,000 on the all-wheel drive and 19,500 on the, or 21,500 on the all-wheel drive and 19,500 on the four-wheel drive for the 7-year, 7,000-hour warranty. That covers everything front to back. We're using Parker hydraulics, which is right, I mean, there's a Parker plant in Kearney that's huge. Kawasaki pumps. Kawasaki's right in Lincoln. I think we're doing, I mean, when it comes down to it component-wise, we're doing just as much good as everyone else. We're all playing the same global game. I mean, Caterpillar's got a plant right across the street from us in China. We're doing the same thing. We got plants in Germany, India, here in Georgia. We build all of our big 215 excavators and up. I mean, we're spread out, and we're doing the same thing when it comes down to it. And, I mean, it doesn't matter. You go anywhere. You take a box off a shelf. You can pretty much tell where it's made. So I think we're all, at the end of the day, getting the same components built under the same roof. And, I mean, we're just selling it for a fraction of the price is what it comes down to. And we're sharing those savings on to you guys, which at the end of the day, as a county, I think, I mean, the cost savings is there. There's definitely a lot to look at. So, I mean, you're getting a good machine. It's a Cummins. I mean, everyone knows what it is. You got them in your tractors. You got them in your pickups. I mean, it's longevity is obviously proven at this point. So,
Mr. Swavely,
what kind of controls do they have in the cab compared to the other?
We have joystick and steering wheel controls. And then if you had a lift group, I think that'd be all into the functions as well. So, but it's all, I mean, it's laid out. We've had guys come from Cat and Deer run both machines, and they say they're really familiar.
Switch over, no major.
Yeah, it takes, I mean, an hour of run it to actually get comfortable. So
service work, that's going to be something that would be brought up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You're in Omaha with service. What's our turnaround on something? So we call you today. When do we have somebody down there, and what's our...
We base our service off of severity. So if you're down, there's a snowstorm coming, we'll get to you that day or the next at the latest. Otherwise, I mean, if you have a wiper motor or something, we kick that can down the road. I mean, that can wait a few days, so that's how we base our service. You look on our wall, I mean, it says sales sells a first, service sells a rest, and we live by those words. I mean, we have ex-military guys in our shop, and he runs that shop to a T. Two of the guys are cousins. They're there for the long haul. The other guy, he's out on the road. He's great to work with. I mean, he's out doing all the hydraulic adjustments and little stuff every day, so he knows these machines in and out. And I think when it comes down to it, our service department is next to none. So
our machine goes down, you pay the low boy it up to your shop and do it?
No, our warranty covers up to 300 miles round trip on any warranty work, so there's no charge whatsoever on any warranty repair. So you won't get billed for any of that extra. When you sign the line, it's all a fixed cost. So, and we can get a service package built in, too, if you want to go that route. We've done that before, and we still come in low bid, even with that included. So if that's something where you guys don't want to be doing oil changes and stuff, we can definitely work that in. But
we have a breakdown, and it's something you're not going to be able to fix within a 5 or 6 days. You're going to bring another patrol down so we can use while you're fixing it?
I mean, that would come down to, I guess, what's available. I mean, we have a machine on order. We have an all-wheel drive coming into the shop. You guys would be, essentially, if you want an all-wheel drive, you guys would take that machine. But otherwise, when that one's taken, we'll have another one on order. So we plan to always have one on the ground. But the all-wheel drive is the latest and greatest machine from Sani. They built that machine for Nebraska is what it comes down to, because that machine's been in Death Valley. It's also been up in Canada running. I mean, the all-wheel drive has gone through all the R&D needed to be successful here. So that's what we're trying to stock, because for us to get in on these bids, a lot of times all-wheel drive is needed for this part of the country. So we've done a lot of no bids in the past, but now we got something that we really are confident is going to fit your guys' needs. And we've taken all the feedback from all the demos we've done from the guys, and Sani has gone in. They've changed a seat. They've changed things to really accommodate to what operators and everyone else have given us for feedback. So we're doing what we have to earn your guys' business, and I think we've done a good job of refining this machine and going through a lot of, I guess, R&D just to prove that this machine is going to do everything you need it to do.
Mr. Dorn?
The visibility and the...
Visibility is great in this cab, yeah. Say we get that compliment from a lot of guys. I mean, you can see both sides of the blade from the seat, and, I mean, it's perfect for visibility.
So what you're saying is that right now you don't have a machine. If we would buy a machine, you don't have one. If this thing would break down, and that happens, we know that. Yeah. That happened a long time ago. Okay,
yeah, four-wheel drives we have on the ground now. The all-wheel drive, there's just enough demand there that's the one that.
So you could swap us a four-wheel drive in the meantime to get by until you repaired it then.
I think, preferably. Yeah, that'd be...
Joey, what's that?
Preferably, what do you want? I mean, you got both bids here.
So. I've never been a big fan of the six-wheel drives. I know those are popular around the state. I've always thought the only time you ever need one is if you have a lot of snow. I know other counties do run those. More moving parts, more things to break, I guess, in my mind. More maintenance, more expense. This last snow that we get every 10 years...
15.
We did talk about it is nice having that six-wheel drive. We do have, well, we have two. We have two, Dirt Crew and then one other one. They were good to kind of split up and just keep a couple. I don't know that it's necessary. You can't plan for peak.
Yeah.
I prefer four-wheel drives. I mean, moving dirt and grading roads, they seem fine, but... it may not hurt to keep at least one.
So just to touch on something real quick, he talked about Cherokee County. They go on to a three, some of the machines are a five-year buying cycle, and they're already cycled out, and they've had great success with their machines, and they're running in some pretty interesting dirt, and they're putting on a lot of miles. And they've held up to everything you could ask for. The thing that we're priding ourselves on, and I'm just going to give you guys a tip of a hat because, I mean, we're chasing them, right? And we want to do what they're doing, ultimately. And we feel like, you know, we're filling that, you know, that, closing that gap now. You will, if it meant anything to you guys about coming out and seeing our facility or having I'm assuming he's the road manager. If he wanted to come visit the facility in the next 2 weeks, we would make that happen just to, you know, I want you to see that our product is not some Hot Wheels car that comes in a box and you guys are going to have to maintain and regularly call A1 and then ultimately come back to my desk and then I'm on the phone in China, you know. So we're here to stay, and ultimately that's why I was asking about the all-wheel driver tandems. It's, you know, the tandem is a great machine. Our all-wheel drive is a great machine. I live in Michigan. I don't know if you can tell by my accent, but I'm in upper Michigan where we get this much snow. And our all-wheel drive, I personally voice a customer, and it performs great. So,
here's the other elephant. Sure. Trade in value.
It's a good elephant. So because we're not Caterpillar or John Deere and have the 100 years I'm assuming a lot of you are agriculture people by listening to you. And I work for Fendt. I work for AECO, so a little biased about being the premier tractor in the world, but they had the premier, you know, bio residual. Right now we're a little bit lower, but we're showing that on the front end. So counties that are strapped financially, you know, and that's why we try to do what you do in this my business can afford to have that. So I understand that the bio's lower or the residual is lower, but we're trying to show that at the front end of the buy. So.
Good.
And you talk about
valid point.
You talk about your trade values and the money you're saving up front. I mean, these machines, you could give this thing away at that point and still be ahead. So I think there's definitely some points to be made there on going in low and saving money up front.
Becky, just for the record, I don't think we read the four-wheel drive option on the Sani.
And I got that here, so if you want me to read that, I can.
Oh, yeah, if you would read that, just so that we have it for the record.
Okay. So the price on two four-wheel drive machines were $229,988 apiece. With a 84-month, 7,000-hour warranty, it's $19,500 each. Our trade allowances are the same, $60,000 for the 140M2 and $90,000 for the 12M3. So the final tabulation comes out to $459,976 for both machines. That warranty times two, you'd be $39,000. Minus your 150 for the trades, you'd be $348,976 to trade for two four-wheel drives if you're doing both machines.
And you said TRX is your drivetrain people?
We use Cummins and we use Meritor axles by Cummins.
Meritor, okay.
Yep. So that's really standard on axles nowadays, so.
Meritor is a big time company.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
It's like I said, the guys that see them, we bring mechanics out, we bring operators out, everyone that sees this machine, one of their biggest things they say is just how simply it is laid out to work on the thing. I mean, that saves us on service trips. We can be there and fix the machine in a shorter amount of time because you open side panels, you can see through. It's not all stacked with emissions and hard to get to everything. I mean, they're very well thought out machines, and they use components that you and I know what they are. So at the end of the day, I mean, like I said, they've proven themselves. So we're doing what we have to build a machine that is going to stand the test of time.
I would suggest getting that number for Cody from Cherokee County to Mark.
Absolutely, yeah. So I think he's...
Yeah, Cody was just over in China, actually. Cody and James, they went over there and visited the plant. And I think their spectrum of the product even grew bigger. You know, it was larger because of what it actually is. Has anyone here been over there?
Anywhere?
Been to China?
No, I avoid it.
Yeah, so do I. But ultimately,
I'm going to put your name on it so that I don't forget.
I'm sure it is.
And even the one in Georgia here, if you ever get down to Georgia, you got to see the one down there because they filmed all the Avengers movies in it. It's crazy. I mean, it's all glass around the building, and it's almost a 300-acre facility, so they have all sorts of machines down there.
Like I said, if it meant jumping on a plane in Omaha and going over to Peachtree, Georgia, if it was any of the council members or your road manager, you would just let us know, and that eased concerns in the buying cycle.
Blade questions for Sani, A1. Do you guys have any additional questions for Murphy or Caterpillar or Nebraska Machine?
I had one question.
Would you come and talk on the record, Travis, just to get your just to keep it recorded?
Just to get you up.
No. I'm not trying to be up. No, just for clarity, I've been on some other bids on other counties. They had the base machine, but they didn't include the front lift group price. Is that included in your bid, or is that a separate cost?
That's, I believe, included based on the bid. Okay. I think it's all in there. I don't think there was a line to fill out, but I think the lift group was $15,000, and I believe that's all built in. I'll go back through the bid.
Would you confirm that?
Yeah, I'll have to read back through. I don't have it all right in front of me, but I think I built all that in there. So
that's a good point.
Yep.
Because I know that was an option before on there.
We went through Craig on that, and they told us 4-week lead time on that, so that'd be the one way it was putting that front lift group on. I mean, I think we're through the snow now, so I'm guessing that's probably not too pressing, but...
I don't think we are.
Yeah.
This is Nebraska.
Yeah.
I see the one, the front lift, with Balderson.
Yeah.
Are these all the same
configuration? It'll be the same, so all your attachments will bolt right on, or slide right on, I should say. But, I don't know what else to...
Mr. Shuler, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Is there any counties in Nebraska that have a...
So, like I said, we've just been doing no bids until we had this all-wheel drive machine, because for us, honestly, I can spend my time elsewhere instead of going in and having to throw out a bid. So we're just now touching base on that, and I think this is going to be, it's going to be a domino effect when we start getting them in here, because we've had a lot of guys asking questions. Merritt County already told me they're in on one as long as they can get the rest of the board on, but we had representatives out. So I think when they've seen what we've got, seeing is believing, and these machines aren't short on steel. I mean, that's why we come in heavier than your weight. There's a lot there to look at.
What's your weight on a
four-wheel drive? You're 45,000. The all-wheel drive, you're 47. So you're over by quite a bit. We come standard with a premium circle, so it's shimless, maintenance-free. We also have a rear ripper standard on the machine, so you don't have to buy a ripper if you need that. That's on the machine. It's pre-plumbed hydraulics to the front and the rear. I mean, there's no surprises when you buy one of these. It's very friendly to use, and, when you start adding attachments on, it's all there. Sandy does a good job, but they fully load these machines, so you don't have a bunch of added kits that you got to put on to make it compatible with a wing or whatever. Even our belly has a plate on there with the bolts and everything to bolt a wing on if you ever needed to. So we can get that through Craig too if you guys have the need for a wing for snow removal. But
not right now.
All right, thank you guys.
Yep, thank you.
What we'll do is take these under consideration. Becky and Mark will take a look at these, go through them, and we'll come back in a couple weeks with a recommendation.
Well, I didn't.
Thank you all for your bids. We'll move on to our next timed event, which was from 1 hour ago. These will be the fuel bids. We have some fuel bids, I hope. You don't get to get that right on, Jurgens. Do we need a motion to accept all those bids?
You closed bidding.
Mr. Jurgens?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Could we have a motion to accept the motor grader bids and refer to the highway department for recommendation?
I didn't state that yet, but we should.
We have a motion by Jurgens, yeah. second by Lytle.
Got it? Okay.
Please vote.
Okay.
5 in favor with Haxby and Lytle voting no. 7 in favor. I read that wrong. Motion carries.
Huh? Well, I'll get to
no
that.
No, I thought about
okay.
That.
Okay. Yeah. Just one?
One bid.
This bid is from Sapp Brothers Incorporated. Fuel. Diesel fuel, number 2 premium. Dye diesel, additive package, no state or federal tax. Quantity requested 66,000 gallon. Price per gallon $2.89. Unleaded 87. E10 gasoline has state tax, no federal tax. $2.69.09. 38,000 gallon requested.
That's the only bid?
Yeah. I do have them from last year. I had them this morning. But I don't know what Emily did with them, so I can't find them right now. Huh?
What about 1963?
I'll have that tomorrow night.
Look, yeah, I'll find it.
I'll have that tomorrow. Yeah. Okay. I just saw that here. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, in memory, Gary, you'd know better. That's about 10% lower the way it looks to me.
From last year?
Yes.
Probably close.
I've got those right here. We'll go ahead and continue, and I'll get them to you.
I was hoping we'd see an opportunity to be a little bit better, but I don't know that we're going to get there this year.
Maybe later in the year. Mr. Kunke.
Last year, diesel was $3.13 a gallon, and gasoline was $2.77.
10% on
Mark,
diesel.
Sure. I got it. Last year. Yeah.
It's not a competition, Mr. Tiemann.
Everything's a competition, Mr. Kunke.
A challenge accepted.
This is on a little different subject. I just asked Don, and I don't know if Becky's seen this yet. We have a township association meeting tomorrow night. Are any of us talking at that, or have we been wiped from the agenda?
You all are.
You guys haven't set that up?
I don't have that.
I think Mr. Juergens, Mrs. Haxby, and you.
Okay, I was just checking to see, but...
And Mr. Dorn, if he can make it.
He usually tries.
He'd be towards the end of the session.
Thank you. Okay, we have one bid there. We have a motion to approve the bid from Sapp Brothers for 66,000 gallons of diesel, 38,000 gallons of unleaded at $2.89 and $2.69.9 respectively. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Juergens. Any discussion on that? If not, please vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. We will move on to our last item for the day prior to executive session. Discussion to approve or disapprove quote for the Sheriff's Department website update and maintenance for Sheriff's Office in the amount of $9,200 for an upgrade and an $85 monthly fee for maintenance. Take it away, Sheriff.
Okay. Mr. Chairman and I spoke about this yesterday and thought best just bring it up. When I took off in 2007, we had this designed by a young man that did it for a reasonable cost. And, of course, he's out of the area now. And so a local gentleman is doing the domain for, like, it's $30 a month. We don't have much ability to do anything to it other than change our look on who the roster is as far as those in and out of the jail. That's been set up so staff can do it. But we need to update it as soon as they can get out of there. We started out, their initial was around 12,000, a little over. We've been trying to do is scale it back, so not having a single page for everything we wanted. If there's something to link out there elsewhere, they can hit the button, link to it, and go to that right away, so that saves us some money. So it come down around this 9,000 something. And so we've just been working on it. The question come up is if we wanted to, through the budget, if I can find anything at the end of the budget year, or something else. And so that's the main thing conversation today is. Because I still don't know where we're going to be at on it for sure.
Do you feel that there's value in you having a website for $10,000?
Absolutely there is. I will tell you just how I didn't realize that much. When we have it crash, I have businesses calling me because they check that to see if their employees, while they're late to work, if they're in jail. So we get a lot of hits. One other thing we're going to be able to do on this, yes, I'll be able to click on there and look and see exactly how many hits on what pages, the most important. But it gets used quite a bit.
I do like looking at the pictures of the goofy inmates he's got. Okay.
I know you get
it's
a lot
more
of
ten grand to me to just do it.
That answers that. We have been able to utilize your website and your Facebook presence
very
for
much.
Getting information out. I think we probably need to utilize that more. I just didn't know how much usage you actually had on the website versus.
Well, during the storm, Mark used it half a dozen times, probably at least.
Oh, yeah.
At least
that was on Facebook. Did you put stuff on your website?
No, on Facebook, I don't think we did. Probably just went to Facebook and
that's,
took photos.
That's what I mean is.
Yeah. It gets more exposure that way quickly. But the website is for more information based. That's what we want to try to do is get something for public to look at, information we have on things from fraud to theft to sexual.
Horses.
Whatever.
But, Mr. Lytle.
Yes, you. So Terry and some of them have stated that the most important part of the website is being able to pull up the prisoners and look at it. You said that's the biggest part of it.
Unfortunately,
that seems to be functional. What's not good enough about the website now that you want to change? Okay.
Well, that's the thing. We can't
sell it.
Okay, we can't change it. That's our problem. So I had asked Apply Connective, what do we do? He said, well, how we handle this is we got a company that we recommend you work with and we're good and reasonable to work with. We contact them. They draft it up for us, come down and talk to us. We get back to them and get back to us. So now when something needs to be changed besides what we can do on the jail items with the roster, the inmates, contact them. They can change it for us. We don't have the ability now to change it. If you notice, my picture, I think, perhaps 19 or from 2007, it's on there right now.
You look a lot better.
They better make it quick.
Well, I know that. But we don't have that technology to change stuff on it. It's just not there. That's true. That's true.
This doesn't appear to be newsworthy because Doug is packed up.
One thing Chief did mention is we're updating. We're trying to get now, so if they want to apply online for a job, they can go online, pull the app out, fill it out, and then and to us that way electronically. So we're tweaking it a little bit, making it better every time. But it's just we can't do it ourselves, basically.
Who's going to maintain that or who's going to work on it?
Apply Connective maintains it once this company.
Who makes the changes, though? Because all the information has to come from you.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll call and tell them what we need, and then it gets changed. Just like it is now. Yeah, like we got now. It wouldn't be every Tom, Dick, and Harry. It can't be. But, yeah. And it's kind of funny and sad, both, that that's the biggest thing. But people like to see those things. They like to see the pictures on accidents, things like that. It's just human nature. You know, it is, but... there's other stuff in there that I think is beneficial to people. So we have our news releases on there as well. If something happens, we try to keep that there.
How
for
do
the media.
You put your news releases on there then if you can't change things?
They have a link. Tanya does that for us right now. And when the deputies have that sent in and I sign off on it, she can download that apparently and put that in that link. But that's about the extent of what she can do on that for news releases. Beyond anything else, we really can't.
I can totally see you updating it and stuff. It seems like a lot of bread to me for a website update. I don't know. I mean, my website's very basic, so.
Well, like I said, we got them down to about 3,000-4,000, and we still might be able to get a couple more pages off and go to link. It might save a little bit there too, but that's kind of where they're at right now with it.
Coming out of your budget.
That's what we're talking about today. It just depends. If that's what we want to do, then I'll just have to wait and see where we're at in 2-3 more months. And maybe they'll split it with me half and half on each old budget, new budget. Or you can be gracious enough to cough up some money. But that's why we're here talking about it. So,
Gus has been doing great since I've come back on as far as budget-wise. Years ago, starting in January, Jerry would come back and ask for more money every month, okay? So I think...
And the sheriff hasn't done that. He's come in under budget the last 3 years.
Yeah, you know, it's good.
Well, it's a challenge, I will tell you that. Especially when you lose people or they're gone for a reason, that wage is there to kind of help the bottom number. But as Don knows very well, when they get hired back in again, that padding's gone, and that really what trips me up to get towards the end of the budget year to see where guys at.
I will say, though, a lot of the stuff, it was a weekly thing where I would talk to the sheriff about gadgets. We don't buy the gadgets anymore, and it's equated to thousands of dollars. Your different purchasing has made a huge difference.
It has, and I'm taking the things that you don't have to buy. They're now historical society now for old stuff to look at. You know,
that's nice. You know, that way we can kind of keep some memorabilia going.
It is. Like I told you all along, technology is a kicker in the budget. It really is. Buy for the grants best you can, and that's about all you can do is try.
Mr. Jergens.
Well, Emmy just threw something in my head and got me all confused. I was going to make a motion to approve, but she said, if it's in his budget. But I'm not going to do that. Motion to approve.
Second.
So how are you paying for it? So
out of his budget, it sounds like.
I would still say that would be the intention. Emily?
Is that the intention? Because otherwise I would amend it to say out of his budget.
And if you can work with it in this budget, next budget, like you spoke?
If I see we're going to have some even half into the budget.
Uh-oh.
We can do that.
Motion by Jergens, second by Swavely.
I would, Emily? Secretary, what did you say?
The amendment.
Out of his budget.
Okay.
You'll accept that as part of your motion? Are you okay with that as your second to have it out of the sheriff's budget?
He'll figure it out.
We have a motion and a second by Jergens and Swavely to approve $9,200 in upgrades and an $85 monthly maintenance fee, all of which would fall out of the sheriff's budget if he chooses to move forward. He has authority to do that without me saying so.
The problem would be if I don't have it there, then we're talking again. So maybe I can split two ways. We'll see how it
breaking
goes.
Breaking up, Sheriff. any additional discussion? If not, please vote. Motion fails. Just kidding. 7 in favor, motion carries.
Yeah, right.
No reaction at all. Jeez.
No, it's just like at home. I got a bag. I get tired of bagging all the time. I'll cut those slack.
We do have a closed session for personnel necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection that needless injury to the reputation of an individual. I'd ask for a motion to go into such closed session at 10:38. Moved by Lytle.
No.
Moved by Dorn. Second by Swavely. Please vote. 7 in favor. We're in closed session at 10:38. I'll ask for a motion to come out of closed session at 10:56.
So moved.
Sticking my hand here in a second.
So moved, Barry.
Moved by Shuler.
Swavely.
Oh, Swavely. Sorry, Shuler. Second by Dorn.
Good on.
Please vote. 5 in favor. Motion carries. We're out of closed session at 10:56.
Where'd Emily go? She left her water bottle.
She took her little computer.
She must have a meeting that she
must have what?
Yes.